So I want to talk to us about prayer today. If we were to title it, I'd say, Lord, teach us to pray. And I want to bounce off, actually, this passage that Wesley shared in worship, because it's actually part of even what I was sharing. She referenced the latter part of the passage to the first part that I reference in what I shared. Again, the Lord always reiterates, always prophetically speaks to demonstrate the word that he's bringing forth. Remember, this is the mystery. When we gather together, we're just not a collection of people hanging out in a room hearing a good message. We're not just at a self-help, self-empowerment seminar. We're not teaching you tactics on how to live the best life now. We're teaching you the knowledge of God that you can not only encounter him together amongst the people of God. This is a part of your family. When we gather, God is in our midst. God is here. And the Spirit of Christ speaks through us. We get to experience the face of Christ, the Word of God, the heart of God through one another. This is part of the mystery of the church. It's not just a collection of people in a social club. This is not a Lions Club. You know what I'm saying? This is the church of Jesus Christ, the church of the living God, the household of God. We're a family. We're in the living room. But he's here among us. He speaks. He interacts with us. And so in our worship, in our prayers, through the impressions from the Holy Spirit, these are things we need to take heart to heart, recollect, meditate on, think on, and realize that we're in a divine conversation when we gather. When you're getting coffee, when you're fellowshipping in the hallway, from the moment you're greeted to what's happening when we're singing together, through the preaching, through your interactions together, everything is one divine conversation. And all of us should be doing our obligation to look for what Christ is saying and doing. Look for the theme of the Holy Spirit. Amen? We need to come when we gather together with faith and expectation. Not, oh, I'm going to go to service, get out of here and go do lunch and carry about my business. Friends, when we gather together, we want to come with faith. God's going to meet us. God's going to speak to us. God might even use me to speak to others. Do you come ready to give of what's inside of you? You have gifts, callings. And when the Bible says, when you gather together, each one bring a psalm, a hymn, a spiritual song. You need to come with expectation to give of yourself because Christ is in you. And Christ is in us. Hey, and when we do that, when we are free to participate in the fellowship of the saints, man, we start to experience glory. We start to experience God's presence, his nature, what he's really like. Because we begin to see him through each other. We experience him through each other. So it's important. Things like Wesley's word that she shared about submit to God, resist the devil, stand firm in your faith and he will flee. In the beginning of that passage, and I'm framing this in the context of prayer because this is part of the context that it's in, okay? In the book of James chapter 4, he starts off with this. He says, what is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Do they not come from your own evil desires that are at war within you? You want, but you do not have. And as you scheme to kill and to get, you're jealous of others and what they have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take from them. You don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are still wrong. You want only what you will to give you pleasure. And then he calls us to repentance in the following verses. And then he says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And then it goes into what Wesley shared. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come close to God or draw near to him and he will draw close to you. He gives us a path, a form of instruction saying, one, this is where struggle and strife comes from in your life. It's inside your heart. But I want to teach you how to pray, how to find your needs and desires and everything that is required for life. I want you to find what you need by coming to God. You can come to God and pray and he will answer. But you can pray the right way. You can pray the wrong way. Know what I mean? You can pray the right way. You can pray the wrong way. Real prayer is not just throwing words at God, not just talking at God, right? You ever had a conversation with somebody in life where they monologue for 25 minutes? Have you ever been that person that has just monologued for 25 minutes? It happens. That's not a conversation. That's not a conversation. You're talking at someone. It's almost like I just am only conscious of myself and I just need to spew what I want and then I'm done. Friends, that is not relationship. That's not intimacy. That's not real prayer. That's thinking God is your genie in the bottle, your totem pole. You've made a God of your own image and understanding. When God wants to interact with you relationally, he wants to speak back and have a conversation with you. But since he's God, since he knows all things, sees all things, he knows what you need before you even ask. That's why the scriptures say, Ecclesiastes 5 says, hey, when you draw near to God, let your words be few. Don't be hasty to speak before God. Don't make the vow of fools that say something and then have to recant on it because it's not even what he wanted and what you're not even going to follow through with. God takes your words seriously. He takes your words seriously. Jesus even said, your idle words spoken, you're going to be judged by those in the end. Your words have life and death in them. That's why it says, if you can't tame your tongue, your religion is worthless. That's what he said. But nobody can do that by themselves. We need the Holy Ghost, thank God. God gives us grace, greater grace when we recognize our need. Oh my gosh, I can't. Oh, but you can. But he invites us to come, to pray, to ask. He wants us to receive. He wants the answer. But he says, listen, I'm God. I know what you need. Therefore, your first disposition when you come before me shouldn't be to just spew and puke on me what you think without at least acknowledging that I'm God. Submit to God is your first disposition. From the context of knowing that I'm a child of God and I'm loved, that I belong to him, that I'm desired by him. But I have to first come with the acknowledgement that he's God. My first disposition should be to listen. Or if anything, to adore, to praise. When you come before a king, naturally in the earth, you just don't come up and spew whatever. Right? You show respect. You show honor. You praise. You affirm. You come offer gifts. That's the first thing you do before you even are given the right to speak. And we're talking to the King of Glory. And we're so familiar that we don't know what it is to approach authority. And God is the authority of authorities, and yet he's a tender, loving papa. So there's a tension here. But God wants to tutor our heart to know how to approach God well, how to pray well, so that we can get real answers, so that your joy can be full and the kingdom can advance. Because part of your greatest calling in life is to partner with him through prayer. Your greatest vocation starts in prayer. In intercession, in releasing the will of God on earth through by agreeing with what heaven is saying and doing. As it is in heaven, so it is on earth. That's your job description. That's your job description. As it is in heaven, so it is on earth. My job, your job, is to submit to God. Say, what is your will? Not my will. Not my will. Your will. Let that be done in my life, in this world, in my circumstances, in my family, in my job. Don't deliver me from all my struggle. I'm not looking to get out of the fire. I'm saying, God, first and foremost, you be glorified in it. You be revealed in it. I'm not out for living for my own ambition and my own self. I'm not trying to preserve my life. I've already died. I've forsaken my life that I might live for you. That's the way it should be. Are we living for ourselves? Or are we living for him? If we always pray from the disposition or starting from my life, my concerns, me, friends, God is kind and is good and he'll answer. To persuade you of love so that you can learn to pray from a different vantage point. He wants you to pray from a vantage point of truth, of love, of the glory of God. Not just rooted in your own needs. You know what I mean? So we can pray in a way that's effective, that gets answers, and we can pray in a way that misses the mark. God wants to answer prayer. But he says, I've given you a prescription. I've given you a model. I've given you a path, a disposition of heart, a perception of mind. Right? This is really important. The disciples came to Jesus. They didn't say, teach me how to preach. Teach me how to reach my community. Teach me how to cast out a demon. Teach me how to make money. They didn't ask any of that. Teach me how to be a better wife, a better husband. Teach me how to be a better father. They didn't ask that. You know what they asked? Yeah, teach me to pray. First things must be first. And again, all those other things are good and right. We need to ask all for that. We need to receive all that. But first things first, Lord, teach me how to pray. Because when Jesus prayed, things happened. They walked and lived with Jesus. They saw what he manifested. They saw what he did. the miracles he did. When Jesus prayed, the heavens opened. When Jesus prayed, he got transfigured and started glowing and was talking to Elijah and Moses. And Peter and John were like, what is going on here? Jesus lived in a realm of communion with the Father. Jesus was so busy, had so much demand on his life, but the secret of his success, the power of his life, was born from this place of prayer with the Father. Jesus, the prototype, the forerunner that showed you and me how we are to live as redeemed people. People in submission to the Father, living for his will, not ours. He said, I only say and I only do what I hear my Father saying and my Father doing. You hear that? Jesus even said, my doctrine's not even my own. I'm only telling you what I've heard from my Father. Think about that submission of heart, of inclining himself to say, I live for your will. I don't do my will. This is Jesus, the Son of God, perfect in his humanity. He was fully God and fully man, but he submitted to God still and said, not my will. He was a perfect man. And even his will, he said, it's not my will. I'm still laying that will aside. Your will and my will have not yet been perfected. How much more should we be laying aside our will or taking the time to pause, to submit ourselves to God, to yield our thoughts, our ambitions, our dreams, our aspirations, what we think is right in our own eyes, and yield to get God's mind in the matter, right? How much more? Jesus did that. He said, now you do that. So powerful. Prayer is the womb or the matrix where we learn to possess life and everything that pertains to life. This is where we learn to actually ascertain God's will, receive God's will, find the strength as well to obey that will. It's one thing to discern what the will of God is for any given situation in your life, where you're to live, where you're to work, how you're to parent, who you're to speak to, who you're to partner with, who you're not to partner with, what you're to invest in, what you're not to invest in financially. God wants to be involved in the details of your life. He has a general revelation. God has a general will revealed in the scriptures that teaches us how to live a life that's pleasing to God and right and holy. Like, it's very simple. The scriptures give you general revelation. Avoid sexual immorality. Don't even let there be a hint of it among you that's fitting amongst the saints. God has called you to a holy and pure life, right? You don't have to pray about that. You don't have to ask God for what his will is. It was written to teach you that you might obey it. And then he gives you grace to obey it when you draw from him. But you don't need to pray, God, should I sleep with this person or should I cheat on my husband or wife? I really love this person. You don't have to pray about that. The revealed will of God has been there. You obey that. You know what I mean? You deny yourself and you obey. But the specific will of God about the other details of your life, your purpose, your calling, your destiny, your gifts, where you're going, what you're doing, he says, I want to interact with you. I am intimate. I care about you. I love you. I have a plan for you. I actually created you perfectly for this time in this age with unique giftings and callings. And I want to show you what you're called to do. There's preordained works for you to walk in. I created you in Christ Jesus for good works. And I want to tell you what they are. We need the mind of Christ. We need to take time to submit. Jesus, as a young 12-year-old boy, came into the knowledge of the fact that I'm the Son of God. I have to be about my Father's business. He was inquiring in the temple. He began to know the blueprint of his life, where he was going. Jesus could only do what he did in life because he knew who he was and he knew where he was going. Do you know who you are and do you know where you're going? I hope so. Because that's the task for all of us. God, who am I? What do you say about me? How have you uniquely wired me? What have you called me to do? What is my unique contribution in this life? You can't know that outside of submission to God, inquiry before God, and then he gives you the grace and power to do that. Do you hear me? God wants to answer your prayers specifically, not just generally, right? Answered prayer is the vindication of your sonship. Answered prayer says that you really are a child of God, and it demonstrates that God is really alive and very real, that he actually speaks. It is not a totem pole, a fairy tale, a myth, just some good idea you cling to because you need a crutch in life. No, no, no. He's a living God who's real and he speaks and he wants to interact with you. So when you ask specific things and God answers specifically, God is glorified and you are satisfied. You feel me? Are you with me? Come on, stand up on your feet real quick. Stretch your rear end. Wake up. Bounce a little bit if you can. Take a deep breath. God, I'm present. I'm here. I want to engage with the word of God. Okay, you can sit back down. To ask in his name and get answers reveals the truth of the gospel, that Jesus actually is who he says he is. Do you hear what I'm saying? To get real answered prayers demonstrates that the gospel is true. This is amazing. And he asks us, he tells us to ask. Ask in my name and it will be done for you. I want you to ask so I can answer and show everyone around you and show you that I love you, I hear you, I'm your father, I'm God, and I want everyone to know that it's real. That what they trust in is a false idol. What you trust in is real. And they can hope in me because I answer. That's why Jesus says, listen, don't pray like the pagans who don't even know me, who have to spout out so many repetitious things, thinking that for many words they will be heard. And he said, no, simply pray like this. And he gives us a model. He gives us a structure on how we're to approach God in a way that's honoring, right, and good, in a way that gets answers. In a way that keeps you aligned with truth. A way that keeps you aligned with life. Are you guys still with me? Is this too heavy? This is very different than first service. Prayer is the place of power and personal transformation. And not just private prayer in your solitude, but prayer in the context of community. Remember, what we do together is exponentially more powerful than what we can accomplish or do when we're by ourselves with God. God shows up in a unique way in the corporate place. So the context of prayer, we are a living temple offering sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving God together. That's our vocation. We are a royal priesthood, a nation. We are a nation of priests and kings meant to declare his praise. The God that called us out of darkness, brought us into light, we're to make him beautiful by giving the fruit of our lips, saying he's great, he's awesome, he's beautiful. Bless you, praise you, you're amazing. May everyone know it. That's your job. What a great job. And we're going to do it forever. That has to be that should define the culture of how you live. Celebration, thanksgiving, rejoicing, praise. You should be the happiest, most celebratory people on earth. Why are we depressed in the church? Because people focus on themselves and their issues and they don't behold the greatness of God. And because their ambition in prayer has to do with them and their needs rather than the fame of Jesus. When you connect to the real worth of God and your motives are purged to align with his kingdom, his will, his name, his purpose, friends, you come alive. You get happy. You get full of joy. Because in his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. He is joy. He exudes joy. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. What's your life like? That should not make you feel bad. That should say, wow, I have so much available for me. Maybe I just need to shift my gaze. That's what the Bible calls repentance. Stop looking at this and look to this. That simple. He wants to make your heart merry, glad, alive, so that you pray with joy, with expectation, from the place of knowing, I'm favored, I'm loved, I'm holy, I'm chosen. I have access to the throne of God. I can receive grace and mercy. I can receive his will and his purposes and decree it into the earth and see it come to pass. What a fun job. What a fun way to live. Hallelujah. Listen, as a child learns to speak, so Christians learn to pray. There's a progression. There is a continuum of maturity. We all start somewhere, and that's cool, right? A baby at first can't even do anything except fart and poop their pants and cry. Ah! That's beautiful before God. He loves that. Every one of us started there, and that's good. That's good. That's a beautiful type of prayer. But you can't stay there. You can't be 20 years in the Lord. You can't be 15 years in the Lord. You can't be 5 years in the Lord and still be crapping your pants. Let me just say it like it is. We got to grow up in the grace of God. We've got to learn to communicate with the Father, to mature in our relationship, to learn to approach him on the basis of truth, on the basis of his nature, on the basis of his word. Not our emotions and our circumstances. Man, if we live reactionary lives, we'll always be tossed to and fro. But if we live by faith and not by sight, we can respond to heaven, respond to God, and release his kingdom and walk in peace regardless of your circumstance. We're meant to be mature sons and daughters that respond to God, not react to circumstances. Learn to live in peace even when there's chaos. It's called peace that passes understanding. It doesn't make sense. It's called supernatural. It's called God who's with you. Not a self-help technique where you just comfort yourself. Oh, like I'm okay. No, that's called idolatry. That's called finding refuge in yourself rather than refuge in God. And if we're not careful, that's how we will be taught. Our therapeutic means of counseling and dealing with our struggles, we are taught very many things that are not Christ-centered and they're destructive and lead to idolatry. We have to grow in knowing who God is and come into a confident rest of what he's really like. And then when we do, our faith and our prayers become more childlike. We get more simple where we can simply ask and simply receive. And our security in God, our security in knowing his love for us, releases us to live lives of thanksgiving, praise, and partnership. You're the man. You are the man. This is what he wants. That we'd live lives of thanksgiving, praise, partnership, living from a different perspective of victory. We are meant to be a people of victory, not despair. Not hopelessness, not a sense of powerlessness, not anxiety, fear, oppression. That's not your portion. Joy is your portion. Freedom is your portion. Hope is your portion. Joy is your portion. Victory is yours. Even no matter what circumstance, no matter how trying, you have a chemical imbalance and it feels 10 times harder, that doesn't matter. You're alive in Christ. His grace is sufficient. He'll provide what he needs for you through natural means, spiritual means, relational means. He'll provide what you need. You have a choice no matter where you are to choose your attitude. Nobody can do that for you. You can choose what type of life you will live, what type of attitude you will have, and that comes from a perspective that God reigns, and that I'm his child, and I'm loved, and he knows my future. He's got everything I need and more. I can live from security. You know, I don't ever ask for my needs. In prayer. I'm telling you a little bit about my prayer life. I do not ask for my needs in prayer. If anything, I simply give thanks that my needs will be met. Do you hear me? There's a big difference there. Feeling like I need to ask God or beg God for my needs when he's promised to take care of me if I put his kingdom first. I don't need to focus on my needs. I have security in my Father's love that he's going to take care of me. And therefore, if anything, I acknowledge that I have a need. I simply give thanks, but then I'm released to pray into other things that matter. Because I know my dad's going to take care of me. And he has, and does, and will continue to do so. Because I know that God knows my needs before I ask. That shifts how you pray. Then I'm not begging, I'm not needing to cry out in desperation as if though God doesn't care. To cry out to God in panic in any circumstance or in fear or in worry, it undermines your faith. It actually reveals our unbelief that God is somehow ignorant of our circumstances or life. We don't just throw up and puke on God our needs. He knows your needs. Our first disposition is to be like, oh God, I bless you. I acknowledge you in my circumstance. Listen, the Psalms are full of this. King David puked everywhere in the Psalms. Crying out, bemoaning, complaining. I'm surrounded by enemies. People are trying to kill me. I'm rotting in my bones. My sin is making me miserable. I eat my tears day and night. But in the same breath, in the same psalm, he's saying, but I will rejoice in you. I will give you thanks. I will praise you. My soul will rejoice in God. You're my refuge. You're my strength. God, I'm in a pit, but you will deliver me. I'm in a grave, but you're not going to leave me here. You're going to raise me up. My flesh can rest in hope. That's what the scriptures say. My flesh can rest in hope. That's what it's about, learning to live in the peace of God, the presence of God, in knowing the awareness of the I am, the ever-present one. We have to learn to pray from this place of union and belovedness. We have to know that I pray from the context that I've been accepted in Christ, that I'm loved, that I'm known, that I'm chosen. We have to start with thanksgiving. The scriptures are so clear. The scriptures say rejoice always. Come on, are you with me? Scriptures say rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks for all things. This is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Oh, that's pretty plain. When the Bible says, this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Thank God for the Bible. Otherwise, we just would believe our own delusions. The Bible says, rejoice. Again, I say, rejoice. Be anxious for nothing. It actually says, let your gentleness be made known to all. Let your submission be known. Let your tenderness before God be made known to all. The Lord is near, it says. So be anxious for nothing, but do everything with prayer, supplication, making every request known to God. Hear it though. Make every request known with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, and then the peace of God that passes understanding guards your mind and your heart in Christ Jesus. Do you see what I'm saying? Everything has to be framed from the context of praise, prayer, thanksgiving. I rejoice in God. He's not ignorant of my need. I acknowledge my request, but I thank him that he's done it. When I have those what ifs that come in my mind about difficult things, what if this happens to my daughter? What if someone breaks into my house? What if someone rapes my wife? What if? What if? What if? All the things that happen in our mind, guess what? I can either say, oh God, don't do that. Don't. No way. No. I can, of course, rebuke the devil, or I can turn it into thankful prayer that says, oh God, thank you that you protect my child. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that you use everything for good. Thank you, God, for grace. Thank you for protecting. Thank you for providing. Thank you. Regardless of the situation, God uses everything for good. Everything. Come on, say everything. No, one more time. Everything. Think about your life. Think about your confusion and things that you might even be angry at God about. Everything he uses for your good. You trust in him because he's loved you, called you according to his purpose, and he's going to use it all to transform you, to produce what's pleasing in his sight inside of you, and use it as a testimony that glorifies Jesus and set others free. So therefore, no matter what it's in, listen, I had somebody in the church who's no longer part of this church, someone in the church years ago. My brother does not know Jesus. He's mentally not well. He's in jail right now in Florida. Man, he used to rage out at me about the faith. You know, I'm the only person that knows Jesus in my family. Besides my mother, I have three other siblings. And my brother finally came around. He was homeless. I picked him up on the streets of Boston. Started to come part of the community a few times. So much stuff around that. Fun stuff. But one of these individuals sexually took advantage of my brother, another guy. My brother doesn't even know Jesus. I mean, this was horrible. Horrible circumstance. Horrible. But the grace of God allows you to do things that are supernatural. I don't care what you've been through. I've been abused. I know what trauma is. Everyone has their own story, but I know what trauma is. I know what heartache is. I know what disappointment and betrayal is. I know what abandonment is. I know what hopelessness is. But I know what Jesus does with all of that. I looked at this person that abused my brother, and I hugged him, and I kissed him, and I forgave him. And I said, I'm going to look at you the way Jesus looks at you. Yeah, you need help. You need to be restored. You need to deal with your stuff. But I forgive you. That's grace. That's not me. That's grace. And I thank God. And I thank God still today how he will use all that redemptively for my brother's story, who still doesn't know Jesus. I still have to hear about that. But you know what? I don't get angry and grumble at God and get mad at this brother anymore. He's forgiven. I've forgiven him. I thank God that it's going to be used to be redemptively. I don't beg God. I thank God. When I make declarations, I'm not begging God. I decree something. I proclaim something with the confidence in his will. Very different. We want, like Jesus said, my soul's troubled to the point of death, but should I say, should I pray, God, deliver me from this? He says, no. No, for this very reason I came. Father, glorify your name. Be glorified in my struggle, in my circumstance, in my life. That should be the heart of our prayer. We see this in the model Jesus gave about the Lord's Prayer. When he says, our Father. That starts with saying, oh, you love me. You're my papa. You're my father. I approach you first on the basis that I'm loved and I'm your child. And then he goes on to say, you who are in heaven. This positions us to say, wow, you're in heaven. You know all. You see all. You're sovereign. You're powerful. I don't have to worry about anything. Simply coming to God with the way Jesus taught us to pray was, Father, number one, he loves you. And number two, you're in heaven. You rule over everything. You sit on a throne. You're not shaken. Nothing's outside of your eyes. You see the antics of my soul and you see the injustice of men, but you reign. You're in heaven. And then he goes on to say, hallowed be thy name. In other words, my first concern is, oh God, may your name be honored, not meet my needs. It's God be honored. That's what I care about. That's what you should care about. That's what Jesus taught us to care about. And we have to be taught that. When my daughter comes to me and comes and wants to express her needs and she just comes whining or complaining or demanding something, I don't just let her get away with it. She's not 1 year old anymore. I teach her how to think. I teach her how to approach her parents, how to approach authority. I say, whoa, 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 let's try that again. It should look like this. Try that again now. And she does. I'm teaching her how to pray. And I'm teaching her how to relate to her parents, how to father, how to mother. We need to do that as parents. But we need to do that with God. And he says, hey, it's okay to whine and cry and poop your diaper for a little bit. But when you start learning to talk, we're going to start teaching you how to enunciate, how to communicate, how to form sentences and words, how to ask in the appropriate way, how to express gratefulness for everything I've already given to you. Instead of being demanding, like you can command me. Any parent, like, you don't command me. You're not my parent. Stop it. You know? The Father God is the same way with us. So he says, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Then he goes on to give us this day, our daily bread. Forgive me. I forgive others. And then he goes, finishes again with praise. Yours is the kingdom. Anyway, I could get on and on. I taught 3.5 hours on this yesterday. God wants you to have confidence to know his will and to pray his will so that you can see answers to your prayers and that your joy could be full. And some of us in here don't even ask specific things because we feel it's safer and we don't think he will actually answer. God wants you to ask for specific things. Jesus said, ask for whatever you want. When Jesus came to the people that had needs, he said, what do you want from me? What do you want me to do for you? That means you have to have courage and own your heart to say, God, I want this. But he gives also conditions. He says, remain in me. Let my words remain in you. And if my words remain in you, then you can ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this, my Father's glorified that you bear much fruit and prove that you actually are my disciple. You want to prove you're really following Jesus? Then you're going to see prayers answered consistently in your life. Because you're going to be filled with his will, and you're going to be asking his will, and you're just going to see it done. No matter what the process looks like, even when it's delayed, it's okay. You give thanks until it comes. But he wants you to ask. He wants your joy to be full. He wants to answer your requests. He wants to satisfy you with his goodness. God wants you to be blessed, happy, satisfied, at peace. That's what he wants. He wants you to be happy. We have to pray from the security of his love, or we'll pray from our fears, our worries, and unbelief. Okay, I went a little bit longer. Forgive me. I want to do this last thing, and this will be kind of our altar call response. And I'll say this too. If you don't know Jesus in this way, if you've never heard the gospel, if you don't know that he loves you, he cares for you, that Jesus literally, the Father loves you so much he sent Jesus into the earth in order to restore you to the Father, to bring you back home, to destroy the power of corruption in your soul. He died for your sin, to take it away completely, that you could be free from the dominion and tyranny of that evil. And he was raised from the dead. Raised from the dead to break the chains of death and bondage, to set you free to live a new life. And then not only that, he didn't even just raise from the dead. This is where it gets even better. He ascended into heaven. And he sent his spirit to those that trusted him to actually live in you. To be with you. To empower you. To help you. To reveal God to you. We need to know the Holy Spirit, and you can know that God is with you and in you. Trust that he died for your sin, that God raised him from the dead. He's the gift of the Father to you, and all who believe shall be saved. It's good news. I want to encourage you to interact with God here. What do you think? Should I do this thing again? You guys okay? Are you guys like waiting to get out of here and go eat lunch? Are you guys with me? Are you okay? Can I do one more thing? Okay, I'm going to do it. I'm just going to honor you. I know I've been going a little longer, but. So I wrote out, it's really just scripture. I want you to just soak and experience the heart of God for you. I crafted and personalized the Word of God. And I want to read it over you. I want to read the Word of God over you and let it wash you, tenderize your soul, speak to you. And I want you to simply receive. I want you to get in soaking mode, like you're getting dipped in a bucket or bathed at a salon. I want you to just soak, lay down and rest in the love of God and receive his words washing over you, imparting and feeding your spirit. And the Lord may speak to you, touch you. He may heal your body, stir your emotions. Because if you trust in what, put your faith and make this personal. Because it is. Because it is. This is transformative. Because in order to pray the right way, to grow in that, it starts with this. Knowing the Father's love for you. Security in his love frees me to learn how to interact with him rightly. Security and love allows me to be confident and bold and assured before him. Knowing his love for me is what empowers me to pray. And so if you can get settled in the love of God, it will reorient how you do life, the enthusiasm you have when you wake up in the morning, your anticipation for the day. When you know you are loved, delighted in, wanted, it changes everything. So I want you to just soak in this, okay? You guys able to do that? Let this be a little experiential. This will kind of be our altar call / just you responding to God. Yeah, so just play. Holy Spirit, come. Thank you that you're here. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. I've chosen you and set my love upon you. You forever existed in my heart, and I have forever cherished you. I was so delighted for you to be born. My soul sings about you and rejoices over who you are. You are my special treasure. I've made you and crafted you with my own hands for such a time as this. You make my heart happy. And when you turn your eyes and your heart towards me, it absolutely overwhelms my soul with love and pleasure. I am your God and Father. I am your maker and a mighty Savior who delivers you. And it's because I delight in you. Receive my heart for you today. Believe in my words to you today. Believe in what I say about you and what I declare over you. And may my love quiet all of your fears and concerns. I am with you. Be quick to listen. Be slow to speak. And let your words be few. Simply receive mine. Let them sink deep into your heart. Let them beautify your soul. My words are true, and they're eternal. Own them for yourself. Make them yours, because they are. There's nowhere you can go from my presence or run from my spirit. I know everything there is to know about you. I am intimately acquainted with all of your ways. And before you even say a word, I know it. I go before you and I follow hard after you. My loving hand of favor and blessing, it really rests on you. May this fill your heart with wonder and with joy. And in your valleys of death and shadow and difficulty, I am there with you. I'm a steady light and a faithful friend to you. And in seasons of obscurity and hiddenness, even there my hands are guiding you. I am your strength and your support. You are my beloved. In times of victory and confidence, in your times of public demonstration, even that is my grace. And I rejoice over you. I rejoice with you in the victory. For I have found and fought right alongside of you to bring forth the breakthrough and to bring forth your success. I love it when we get to partner together in life. It's for your sake. Your sake that I will not keep silent. And how could I? You absolutely thrill my heart and you cause my soul to shout in joy. I am committed, absolutely committed to finish the work that I started in you. I will cause you to shine brilliantly before all. They will see your beauty. They will see your strength, and through you, I will demonstrate my goodness. You will never be known as forsaken, but beloved. The very bride of God, the redeemed of the Lord, a holy one, a people not forsaken, but chosen. For I rejoice over you like a bridegroom husband would do over his bride and wife. I am preparing a way before you, a straight path, a highway, so do not be afraid. I go before you, and I am your rear guard. I will satisfy you and refresh you. I will pour out my spirit afresh upon you and your children. I am faithful. I want you to know the lengths and the widths and the depths of my love for you, the very love I demonstrated in my son, Jesus. I want you to be filled with the fullness of my heart and my thoughts. All of my thoughts for you, they're more numerous than the sands on all the seas and all their shores. And you know what? Every one of them is good. My heart and my plans for you, they're far better than you think. They're for a real hope, a real future. And I want you to know them. I want you to feel them. I want you to be established in my thoughts towards you. I strengthen your heart with my spirit so that you can understand and experience this truth. Open to me today. Receive my love for you today. Breathe it in. Breathe it out. Breathe in my love and breathe out my grace. I am your shepherd who leads you and satisfies every need. Your soul will not want. I restore you. I make you lie down in green pastures. I lead you beside quiet waters. I lead you in paths that are right and good and true. My strength and leadership, they will comfort you. And I even prepare a banqueting table in the presence of your enemies for you. My goodness and mercy, they will follow you all the days of your life, and I will cause your cup to overflow. So do not let your heart be troubled. I am with you, and I am preparing a place for you. I, the Lord, I rejoice over you. Just sit in that for a moment. Just soak in that. Make that personal. Those are the words of God to you. Those are his words over the heart that trusts in his name. Those that have taken refuge in Christ, you are the treasure of his heart. You are the apple of his eye. You are the objects of his affection. On you, his pleasure rests. You are the excellent ones, the saints in the earth. You are the excellent ones in whom his soul delights in. You learn to pray from that place. Receive his love today.